All right. Good evening, family and friends, and welcome to Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We're so excited to have you all on the line and excited to continue and reflect on, are you resisting or assisting the devil? Great topic this week, and we're excited that we get to take this time to truly reflect on it and share some of the things that we too have learned. So I hope that you're all ready to share the word tonight. And if there's anything that you will have to share as well, we look forward to hearing from you. And the way we can hear from you is by pressing *5. So if you press *5, we'll know that there's something that you too want to share tonight. So before we get started, let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer and we can move forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the continued opportunity to serve you. And we thank you for all the things that you continue to assist and aid us in, Heavenly Father. Because we know, Heavenly Father, that we can't do anything in this world without you. It's you, Heavenly Father, who has brought us here. It's you, Heavenly Father, who see us through our days. It's you, Heavenly Father, that grant us the grace and the mercy, Heavenly Father, to continue to work and walk in you. Heavenly Father, may we celebrate you, may we thank you, may we praise you for all that you continue to give and to provide to us, Heavenly Father, and may we in turn help, assist, and share, and guide, and serve others just as you have shown and done for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this ministry and this platform, and we thank you and we praise you, and we are so gracious for our leader, Heavenly Father. Continue to bless him and continue to guide him in this work. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So once again, we are so talking about, are you resisting or assisting the devil? And once again, in Learning Center. So just to share a little something that hit me this week, just a little testimony that I have to share. Most of you don't know, but this summer I've been working on a major project for our school district, which has involved construction and building up a brand new campus. Well, in that, I don't know if any of you have been through construction and that type of work. There are always changes, always things. And the 11th hour when you're in the last moment of trying to move things and get things done, things happen. Schedule changes. Well, one day this past week, a lot of those changes were coming at me all at once. And I caught myself in working with the team, being snappy, being just really antsy and little mean towards others to the point that I had to catch myself and just realizing this is actions that I haven't displayed in years. But what it allowed me to do in catching myself, and that's only being in God's word that I was able to do so, I was able to right there in front of the folks stop the behavior. I was right there able to apologize to them and no longer assist the devil in what he was aiming for me to destroy relationships, for me to kill the progress that we had thus far, for me to steal the joy that was still to come on what we were trying to deliver. Instead, I was able to show who God truly is by owning it, apologizing for it, and making that immediate change right there in front of all of those who experienced the behaviors that I was exhibiting in that day. And an opportunity for them to see how God can move right there in a situation immediately and move forward and work, continue to work with one another with respect. That was just, for me, extremely profound, because sometimes you can leave a situation, right, leaving that negativity amongst everyone, and you can almost kill and destroy what someone else has going in their lives if we're not watching what we say or how we act or how we react in a certain situation. So just grateful for that opportunity. I started assisting, but man, was able to catch myself so quickly so that I can assist the person who I truly call my Father, and that's God above. So that was just something that really stood out for me. And I loved how last night we were able to talk about that in more detail on what it is to assist and what it is to resist. Because if we're assisting God, we're definitely resisting the devil. But if we're assisting the devil, we're definitely resisting God. When I saw the word assist this week, the first thing that came to me was actually assisted living. Oh, that's why, but that's what came to me was assisted living. And just looking at what exactly is involved in those communities. In those communities, you're aiding, you're helping, you're nurturing. You're being a guide. You're serving those who can't necessarily completely serve themselves. You're providing them accommodations that they can't have on their own. And for what? So that they can live fruitful lives. But if we're assisting the devil, we're assisting the things that he lives for, the things that he is looking to do for his life, which is to kill, steal, and destroy. So I'm so grateful that we looked at that in much detail last night, but at the same time as we looked at resist. And resist, what came to me was my favorite pair of water-resistant shoes. Why that came to me? Because that can weather any storm. Those shoes can endure whatever weather comes this way. If I'm walking and it's raining and there's a large puddle, I don't have to worry about what is happening to my feet or my socks because the water resistance from my shoes is repelling it. And that's what it is to resist the devil, is to withstand his actions or the effects of his wiles, endure whatever he has come in, weather that storm, and combat it, and we combat it with our armor. We combat it with the fruits of the Spirit that we went through last night. We combat it by assisting God with whether it's love, whether it's peace, whether it's faithfulness, joy, gentleness, versus assisting the devil with hate, agitation, corruption, misery, and brutality. I saw in myself, in that testimony that I shared earlier, the agitation that was happening. But man, to be able to turn it around and be peaceful to assist God is all that matters. One last thing that I had to share as it comes to resisting or assisting the devil is that we cannot resist the devil on our own. Just as children in Christ, we can't assist God on our own. We are all part of one body, right? One body, and we have to function as members of such and work together for the common good. No Christian, none of us should ever think that we have to do it alone. And no Christian should ever think that we can't be a source to help others. One scripture that really was profound for me came from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, which says, share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. That's it. We have to assist one another. And if we're assisting one another, we're living up to all that God calls us to do. Love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and everything, and love our neighbors as ourselves. We must assist in our lives as Christians, assist one another, and that way we are truly resisting the devil, because we must stand firmly against him. That's right, we must be unbending and unyielding in the way we resist him so that he knows who he is up against. And that's a serious contender if we are wearing our armor. If y'all take the stand against him, if we all take the stand against him, he will tuck his tail and run, like a criminal who knows the day of prosecution is upon him. But once we start resisting him, he will flee from us in terror. And that's what we are called to do. So I hope that everyone was able to receive something from the reflections from this week. And at this time, I'll hand the call over to Mr. Carr.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Tiana. That was excellent. Great recap, great for the Learning Center. And one of the things that you just shared with everyone, and I wanted to reiterate it, what she says, that, you know, read your scripture again, how we should share in each other's part. What did it say?
Galatians 6:1 says to share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ.
And in this way obey the. So when we say the learning center, when we say, you know, what is resisting the devil? In this way we obey the law of God. So if we don't share one another's problems, then we are not obeying God.
Yes, sir.
Say it one more time.
Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way, obey the law of Christ.
So when we do that, we obey in God. So when we don't do that, we don't obey God. So y'all know this is our learning center, and we say, you know, are you resisting or assisting the devil? So when we don't obey God, therefore we are assisting Satan.
Yes, sir.
So in this way, and what was that scripture again?
Galatians 6:2.
Okay. So when we don't share one another's problems, according to Galatians in the Bible, we're not pleasing to God. We're not obeying Him. And if we aren't obeying God, we're obeying something else.
That's right.
And Satan doesn't, the only his primary goal is to get our attention off of God, creating other idols, and we can become our own idol. So therefore, this is our learning center, we start to assist Satan. And how many times do we all, have y'all often heard of, you know, well, I'm going through it on my own. Give me some space and time.
Plenty.
So when we get all in our feelings and our emotions and nobody else will understand my issues and my problems and my troubles, what are we doing? According to Galatians, look for one more time, Ms. Tim.
Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way, obey the law of Christ.
So no one will ever understand your problems. That's between you and God. So why would he tell you to share each other? He could have just kept it between you and him.
Yes.
Ain't that something?
It is.
So Satan lets pride, see, pride will have us thinking that we're right. Because the Bible says, you know, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. So in our eyes, it seems right. But let me ask this question since we're on a learning center. To someone who's blind, I guess darkness is light, right?
Come on.
To someone who doesn't know, so when we're not in God, how can we decipher what's right from wrong? In other words, you know how many people, because we was once there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We thought that resisting the devil was telling the devil to go to H-E-L-L, and that was it. I ain't got it. And much like Miss Tiana said tonight, we say, you know, we say, resist the devil and he's flee. He'll flee. That's what the Bible says, and it is true. But, look at this word, but. Not in a bad but. Do understand that Satan is coming back. Oh, no. He doesn't just go away. You know, you resisted the devil a month ago, an hour ago. You don't think that devil coming back? Because also in the Bible says, when one flees, he's coming back with more. That's not a scare tactic,
yes.
But to resist the devil is much like, Miss Sienna, I'm glad you brought this up. Anybody have a water-resistant phone? The new technology phone?
Yeah.
Submerge underwater for X amount of feet? Well, my question is, if you had a phone and all your important data in the phone, this is our learning center, all your important data is in that phone, would you say that the phone works good if it goes underwater one time and it resists water? Because it's water resistant, which means it repels. So is your phone good if it works one time and not tomorrow? Do keep in mind all your important information is in that phone. So today it covered you. Tomorrow all your information gone. Because you put it in there tomorrow and it just got in the phone. So would you say their phone is water resistant?
Mm-mm.
Uh-oh. So all this that God has put in, he said, greater is he that's in you. So we're supposed to be sin, Satan resistant, because he said resist the devil. So I created you to house myself. I created you to house the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives. So we have the Spirit of God in us, and we're supposed to resist the devil. So we're supposed to be Satan resistant. Not that he created us that way, is that he gave us a choice.
Amen.
Our choice makes us that way. Some ways say, Mr. Carr, well, we're learning, so how is it that our choice makes us Satan resistant? Well, much like you choose to eat cake or you don't. Any special class you had to go to stop eating cake? You had to go to Cake Anonymous? It's a choice. It's a choice. So, Ms. Tiana, what happens is when one is resisting Satan, it's only fair, much like we said all week, that we bring in some good, you know, definitions here. And let's bring in one. I'm going to make it simple.
Okay.
To resist means to repel. You know, when something is irresistible, that means I can't help myself. It just got me. Right? So when we say shoes are water resistant, we don't expect our feet to get wet.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And when something is water resistant, don't you see the little bubbles bead up off it? You know, like when you wax your car? The guy who waxed your car, the company that waxed your car, if they watch this, they wax their car so good, they put drops of water, and that water does what? Roll right on down that car.
Roll off. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That means that water cannot penetrate the body of your car.
Yes.
So maybe we need a wax job to resist Satan, because to resist means to repel, and by definition, repel, R-E-P-E-L, 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 means to drive or force back or away. Now, that's strong. It's simple, but it's strong. When we resist the devil, we think we say, you know, no, stop, Satan. No, I ain't doing that, Satan. Get out of here, Satan. Satan, go to hell. Satan, I'm going to tell God on you. That's what we think. If we really get deep down into it, which I know I'm going to do, because we learn, if you look at Michael, and if you look at other instances in the Bible, Michael the archangel, we talked about it on Wednesday, the Lord rebukes you, Satan.
Yes.
Apostles say, I bind the devil. I rebuke the devil. And Satan over there talking about, who are you? First of all, why is Satan afraid of us? That's a no-go. What power do we have? We talked about it on Wednesday. What power do we have to fight an old, big old bad Satan? The best way to fight Satan is not even getting the ring. The Bible says put on an armor. Watch this. The helmet of what? Salvation.
Salvation. Mm-hmm.
The breastplate of what?
Righteousness.
The belt of what? Truth. Mm-hmm. Our feet shod with what? The gospel of peace. Pursue peace. Peace.
Yes.
Huh? Huh? The shield of what? Faith. Look at the only offensive weapon that you got. Is the word of God. Did you understand the word of God cuts like a two-edged sword? When we resist the devil, you use the word of God. In other words, you're not fighting. God is.
Yes, Lord.
To resist the devil, we have to use the word of God. If you notice, when Jesus walked in the wilderness, he never resisted Satan by saying, you know, Satan, he said at the end, Satan, get behind thee. Get behind me. In the end, God said that, but look at what he used all before that, the word of God.
Yes.
This is where we have to be careful, folks, because we're learning now, because when we resist the devil, how many times have you got caught up and you was good and you was resisting the devil until this slick somebody came and got you to where now you went back and backslid.
Come on.
It can be a friend, family member, coworker. It can be you. It can be that television show, that movie that got you. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. He knows our vices. He knows the things that tempt us. But there is no temptation without first a desire.
Amen.
So what Satan does to break the chains of resisting and getting us to assisting is give us what we want. You always wanted to tell Tiana about herself, so Satan is going to present an opportunity to tempt you. Well, God said you always want to tell Tiana about herself, but God doesn't tempt, he tests. So God said, I'm going to create an opportunity to lift you. I'm going to test you. Satan said, I'm going to tempt you. Satan says, I'm going to make you assist me. God says, I want you to want to assist me. When he says that a wise man wins souls, it's not that God needs our help, but God wants to work through us, much like he did with Jesus. Because when we allow God to work through us, you know, faith is predicated on what you don't see.
That's right.
You don't have to have faith when God done did it already. And then people say, ain't God good? That's not... I'm not raining nobody's parade because we learn it here. That's not resisting the devil. That's really, truly, it's not. Because that's after the fact that you're saying God is good. Why don't you say God is good before the fact? Why don't you say God is good when you didn't get what you wanted? God is still good.
Yes.
So we start to assist the devil, and this is, and people, y'all understand this. We're assisting him because look at everybody behind you. They don't praise God up until after. You know why? Because you, we open that door to say God is based on what you get from him, and then you start praising him. So we set the stage. So we set a stage for our relationship with God is predicated on the tangible, not the faith, the spiritual. So who are we assisting? Because then when God treats us or does or God allows things to happen to us like Job, then how much will you praise him? Would you be like Job and resist the devil, or would you be like Job's wife and assist the devil? Which one is it?
Come on. Come on.
Because Job's wife said, curse God and die. Okay. Now, anybody with any questions, star five, go ahead. Miss Tiana, what you think?
I think it's just imperative for us to realize that for me, the biggest thing that I pull out is our assistance of the devil starts deep from within. You said earlier, you know, it's something that if we thought about it, it's something that then comes out. It all starts with our thoughts. And we have to watch then the words that we are saying, the actions that we are then taking, and our reactions to anything that comes to us, because he is going to tempt us in whichever way, shape, or form and use any and everybody, including ourselves, to get us there. But we have to be wary, and the only way for us to be wary and knowledgeable is through God's word. That's what's coming up for me. We do have one caller who has their hand raised, Mr. Carr. Good evening, caller.
Hello. How's everybody?
Doing wonderful. Yes,
thank you.
Okay, good. I have a scripture and a question. My scripture is Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. And my question is, how do you resist the devil when he comes in a familiar form or a familiar face or form? An example, family member that's always negative or always depressed or something that you're familiar with and used to being around, or someone.
Well, and see, that's a good question, because as we grow in God, we renew our mind. We renew. That means old things have passed away and all things have become new. So although it used to be familiar and we recognize it, we now give it a different response. Okay. How many times MasterCard's gonna send a credit card your way? Now, you didn't got rid of that old habit of spending, but here they come with the same old card. It just looked prettier. Now they let you get your, were you in Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
Then you a call with Dallas Cowboys, you know, all up on it.
You don't accept it.
Right. So we understand the package, it looks nice and it's pretty and stuff like that, and that's my favorite team, support your favorite team and all that good stuff. You can go get your bumper sticker and do that. You don't need a credit card.
That's true.
Okay. The deal is, with those familiar things, that's what Satan, you know, he really, really, really indulges in things that are familiar to us. That's why the Bible says familiar spirits. Not just because of the case that it's familiar to you, but familiar to the world.
Okay, true.
The things of the world. So it's simple. Because those are things that we recognize and we know, and we know where we have come from. So why should we ever want to go back?
True.
The thing is, we have to make a conscious decision, an informed decision, whether we want to resist Satan or give in to him, because what we'll start to do is we'll start to let our emotions get in the way, and we start backsliding and giving in and assisting Satan. In other words, watch this, caller. How many times have we helped someone that God said, do not help, no matter what, because I am not finished working with them?
Mm.
All right. Parents, where are my softy parents at? Yeah, well, he always picking with me. I ain't picking with you learning. So soft on our kids, and then when they get old, then we talking about, I don't know where they get that from. But if that be the case, the Bible is a lie. Because the Bible says train, meaning do continuously. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. We start trying to train them when we get God, so we get God later in our life, therefore they get God after the age of 15. Now, they got 15 years of worldly training, and the last 3 years in your house, you say, what? My mom and daddy saved. Y'all want to do the math on that?
Come on.
Now, some people say this is too deep, but it's real. You got 15 years of living loosely. When mommy and daddy, us, was cursing, then 3 years when mommy and daddy and them finally got saved, and now they're trying to correct us. Uh-oh. That's not a good formula. Now, we ain't saying what God can't do, but do you understand the challenges that you face?
True.
Indeed.
But look at all of them 15 years, we was not resisting the devil because we was living it up. Because typically now the parents of today's age is young. So we start being parents between 20 and 25, 26, 27. We're young. So we still got years of play in us. So that years of play translates to our kids. And then when we reach our mid-30s and start to get up there, then we start finding God. But now this time they in their teenage stage. Well, they saw all play, but now mom and daddy won't get serious. So I never saw you resist the devil, but now you're trying to throw that on me now.
Yes.
And then we get married with our kids, when in reality, we kind of need to look in the mirror. Because you have said your own self, even in the relationship. Do not start one way and turn on me. In other words, whatever it took for you to give me, you better keep on doing it. So why then, oh boy, I don't want to hear this now.
Come on.
That child said, don't turn on me, mom and daddy. I saw what you was assisting Satan, you was drinking, you let me drink, you let me do this, you let me, all this stuff. Now all of a sudden you found God, now you turn on me. You see the uphill battle? Now, I'm talking to myself because I don't know if people be listening.
Come on.
Though.
Yeah.
So now these familiar spirits, like the caller just asked, we got to deal with these things head on. Now our spiritual warfare really begins because we open the door to this stuff. We opened the door to this. Now we got to fight. And we got to fight for what's right, but we got to fight spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin, you know, then we get all emotional, you know, I don't want to see my baby. Man, look, you got to let people, as a matter of fact, you know, it was a pet peeve of mine called. You know, people say, well, I want my child to have more than and better than I had. Wow, where did that come from? Is that assisting the devil or resisting the devil? Because the reason I say that is because when did God ever say he wanted Jesus to have better than he had? Can anybody show me that in the Bible? So if we say it, is that going with the grain of God? As a matter of fact, he made it hard on his son. And his son in turn said, watch this. His son in turn said, if the master suffered, surely you will. So even Jesus said, those who serve him gonna suffer. But look at our assisting or not resisting the devil phase. We tell our kids, I want my child to have it easier or better. That is the worst thing in the world. Now they have a silver spoon and it's called privilege.
Yep.
If there's nothing wrong with you and you went through hell and high water, why do you think something's going to be wrong with them if they go through it?
Mm.
Well, now everybody quiet.
Come on.
Huh? You know what? You know what? Y'all know what? Do you know something that I noticed, Carla? I noticed, you know, I did this Facebook post today. And I'm going to read it to y'all. The Facebook post says, dear officer, every knee shall bow. You know the rest. Then it says, P.S., the law beat Jesus and hung him on a cross, but Jesus won.
Amen.
Post, it says, dear officer, it's true that we may not obey all of your commands, but isn't it also true that you too don't obey all of God's commands? Now, one time has he beat you, been arrogant towards you, disrespected you, justified his actions of brutality against you, nor has he shot at you. Not one time. But the law put Jesus on a cross. But guess who won? You know, caller, that post, it wasn't put out there for likes, but it is to make people look at themselves and think, look at what I just stated. See, this is how you resist the devil. Because, see, with assisting the devil, it says that you are in a position of authority and I'm going to support you no matter what. You know, hood rules say, you know, wrong or right, I got your back. But, see, God rules when we resist the devil says, if you're wrong, I'm going to call you wrong.
That's right.
See, I said it's true that we may not always obey your commands, but isn't it also true that you don't always obey God's commands? See, the thing is, when you let people see themselves, now you can make this playing field equal. But we never resist the devil by showing equal. See, Satan don't want you to involve sin in it, so he wants you to always point fingers at everybody else but yourself. And when we point fingers at everybody else but ourselves, we start to assist Satan because we are very critical on everybody else, but we minimize our wrongdoing and say, God got us. Well, if God got you, you don't think that God has them? The very person you're talking about? The word of God cuts like a two-edged sword. We must resist Satan. If we don't repel the devil, because we did get the definition of repel, right? If we don't drive away, if we don't, you know, make him back up or force him to back up, if we don't be, you know, everything, look, the definition of repel, the second part of it, it says to be repulsive or distasteful. If sin tastes good to us, we can never, ever resist it. Sin has to taste bad to us. Talking about folk has to taste bad to us. You know, Lord.
Yeah.
Joy. Y'all want to know, you know, y'all did see that the Bible says there's some things that God hates and one that he detests. Y'all heard that before?
Yes, sir.
Anybody know the things that God hates? Anybody?
Liars.
Come on. Listen for me, please.
You just lying. Liars.
I'm going to give it to everybody. Y'all, listen to this. Proverbs. Write down Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. We're about to get ready to close our learning center. Six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination, things that he detests. That is a strong dislike, detest. A proud look. What does a proud look look like? Arrogance. So when we are arrogant, we are no longer assisting the devil. I mean, we're no longer resisting the devil. Come on. When we get our hair done, ladies. Are we arrogant? Nobody. See, they want to laugh at me and stuff talking about this man. I'm only speaking the truth. Huh? Get your nails done, what? Huh? You got that big paycheck, and don't get a raise and a new job, and please don't get a title. Oh, my God. You didn't got an office? Huh? Y'all know how it go? Fellas, how it go when you get them new rims? Pow.
Yeah.
Arrogant. Can't nobody tell you nothing. Huh? These are things that God hates. God hates a lying tongue. Hold on, Mr. Carr. Everybody lies. But we ain't talking about everybody. We're talking about you. Don't have that crap in the barrel mentality where you throw everybody else under the bus because of you. I love this. I love when everybody get quiet because they be like, no, I ain't look at it like that. So when we do all that lying, and do understand that lies are not color-coded. See, God doesn't see color. You know how people say, I don't see color? No, God don't see color. In other words, a white lie is still a lie.
That's right.
Yeah, just a little white lie. Because I ain't want to know how I was throwing them a surprise. That's still a lie. If you didn't want Jesus to know about your surprise party, don't you tell him, because he's going to tell the person the action. I'm serious, y'all.
Yes.
He can't. Satan. You understand why? Y'all think I'm playing? Oh, right, here goes scripture. Let me give you scripture. Remember they said, when is God coming back? They asked Jesus. And he said, no man knows. Why you think God didn't tell his own son? Why you think? Because he knew he was the truth and he was going to tell everybody.
Yes.
Y'all laughing, but
yes,
it's true.
It
I knew had he, Jesus win, Jesus was going to tell all of us.
Oh, man. Yes.
Go read your Bible. Y'all might laugh, but it's the truth. Because the truth cannot lie. Because this is something that his father hates, and he's pleasing to his father. So we need to be a pleasing to God by resisting the devil. He purchased us to make us, you know, he purchased us, and he said that we are to be, you know, Satan resistant. Just like you purchased that phone and you paid extra money, he paid extra money for us. So why don't we work?
And actually, Mr. Carr, we have two more callers who have things to share this evening.
Now you get on this phone. Don't be lying. Go ahead. Get the call.
All right.
So,
good evening, caller.
Good evening, everyone. Actually, just had a little bit to share. It actually goes right in line with what has been brought up already, but the first thing is the scripture that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that states, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And it's basically, you know, telling us that temptation is common to each and every one of us. So we all deal with it. And the important thing to remember is even though God gives us a way out, we have to be aggressive in our stand against the devil and resisting his work. So just, you know, closing our eyes or turning our backs to him is not good enough. He's not going to back down that way. And It's also been stated tonight how we have to prepare ourselves for a fight because this is spiritual warfare. And we have to put forth our best efforts. So like we always have talked about as well, the at least isn't good enough. And we have to be firm and be bold and steadfast if we want to be successful in overcoming Satan and his tactics. So I also had here the spiritual armor, which is something that I think, you know, we should keep at the forefront of our minds, because if we're suited up each and every day, we'll be overcomers and we'll be able to walk in the victory that God has already declared for us. So that was just a few things that I wanted to point out tonight.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. Okay. Who else we have, Miss Deanna?
All right. Good evening, caller. Good evening, caller.
Good evening. I have a scripture that I want to share as well. Scripture is James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And just as we've been talking all throughout this evening about the importance of being able to resist the devil, this scripture was one that came to mind. And the term in this, submit, it means to, the Webster defines it as to accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. Excuse me. However, biblically speaking, submitting ourselves refers to coming under the sovereign authority of God. So in that, it means to obey his word, to follow his word, and ultimately denying ourselves. And also what's important to know here is that we must be humble, always be humble. In order to submit to God, we have to humble ourselves, because in doing so, that also shows us that we need him. It also shows that he's worthy of honor and that, you know, that's far more than we are. And then also it was interesting in the scripture to point out the word therefore. When I researched that, it literally meant for that reason. So if you say submit yourselves for that reason to God, to resist the devil and he will flee from us, that word therefore also showed the link between humility and submission unto God. And of course the word yourselves there is plural, so it means that none of us are exempt. So it's pretty much touching on what Tiana was speaking about earlier on when she elaborated on assisting and what came to mind, and also resistance. So what we learn here in the scripture is that submission and resisting, the submission unto God and resisting the devil, it does go hand in hand. And on that latter part of the scripture, what we have to understand is that we cannot decide to raise our hands and say to the devil, I had enough, and decide to fight him on our own, because we can't do anything outside of Jesus Christ. You know, he lives inside of us, and he's ultimately the one who has to stand before us and before the devil as we talk about resisting him. So two things to keep in mind is also, as we talk about resisting the devil, is our faith, making sure that we do not fall into doubting what the word of God says. Because if we doubt, then we actually give the devil, excuse me, the devil wins. But in exercising our faith, God is always pleased with that. And then the other thing is to actually study and know the word of God for ourselves, to be scripture specific in the things that we're fighting against. And three of those things for me was fear, criticism, and complaining. So when I'm fearful, or when it comes to being fearful, whenever that temptation is near, I say, you know, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. Scripture reference to that is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But criticism, I say now that I will not operate in criticism, because God tells me to honor all his people. That scripture reference is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. And lastly, when it comes to complaining, I will not complain, because God tells me to do all things without grumbling. That's a scripture reference there, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And lastly, a quote that I want to leave us with. It says, the more our character becomes like God's perfect nature, the less Satan will feel comfortable in our presence, and the more he'll be inclined to flee from us. And that was noted from an unknown author. And that's what I wanted to share this evening.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, y'all, in closing up with this past week, that do we have any more callers?
Not at this time, Mr. Carr.
No, we're not going to take any more because we're about to close. So, with closing, you know, do understand that we have to partake in resisting the devil by literally diving in, you know, submitting to God. When we say these things, I like to make scripture very plain and clear, because in my experiences, in my personal experiences, I see that we have a lot of folk that get in the Word of God, but they have yet to let God's power rule over their life. That's very, very common in the United States of America. I can't talk about another country, but I know in this country. What I mean by that is we have a form of godliness. We think that being holy is going to church, opening up your Bible, studying the Word. But if you study it and don't apply it to our daily lives, how powerful is God in the midst of your test point? How powerful is He? If you just purchase a pair of windshield wiper blades, you purchase them. Those blades cost $17, $18 a piece. Now, that's not big money to some, but, I mean, that's $17, $18. In other words, $34, $40 you could have used on something else.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But in the time when it rains, I'm not talking about drizzle. I'm talking about thunderstorms, and they don't work. What was the purpose of getting that? How did they even advertise as such? I find that to be the same with us Christians and when it comes to resisting or assisting Satan. We got all of this God in us, and we know, and, you know, just like the caller just said, that sounds good, fine, and dandy. But why is it every time the thunderstorm comes our way, we find ourselves assisting Satan as opposed to resisting him? In other words, you purchase windshield wipers for a higher cost, and yet your windows you still can't see out of when you turn the blaze on. It's because we deny the power of God. In other words, we have a form. We talk about God. We say things that sound spiritual and to look good, but deep down within, we know something just ain't right because we have yet to resist the devil. We have yet to resist the devil. When you read scripture, don't read scripture for your joy and your pleasure. Read scripture to transform your life. In other words, the next issue you have, use that very scripture to address it. The scripture she just submit, James 4 and 7, yourselves to the Lord. Submit means to be all in. You can't submit to God if you only 90% in. That is not resisting the devil, because that 10% will cause us to go straight to hell. Now, I didn't make the math. Don't get mad at me. The Bible clearly says the righteous shall scarcely make it in. Now, if Michael Jordan barely made it to the Hall of Fame, where you going to go?
All right.
The Bible says the righteous shall scarcely, barely. Now, that's not a negative turning point to say that's why I'm not going to resist it. No, I'm not going to assist it. You know, that's not a negative. That should be a positive. It says we don't have time to be playing. In other words, that elevator got room for one more. I got to barely make it in, but I'm going to make it.
Yes.
To submit means to be all in, to get all that other stuff. Because we play with God, and we throw these words around, and yet we still don't get a clear understanding. Submit to God. Be all in with God. Don't have stuff. You want somebody to be all faithful to you in the natural? Be all faithful to God in the spiritual. How about that?
Yeah. Yes.
Huh? God don't mind if you go through his cell phone, open the Bible. You're going through it. He don't have nothing to hide from you. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Be all in with God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But the Bible says first be all in, and then you resist. Humble yourselves. To humble yourselves means to let God have his way. In other words, God, what do you want? When you go out to eat with God, what do you want? And then I'll order. God, what do you want me to do? And then I'll move. Well, we don't give God his way when we don't resist the devil. Because see, somebody said something to you, somebody hurt your child, you don't say, God, what do you want? You do what you want, then you come back and say, God, forgive me.
That's the truth.
Understand the impact that you done just made, not only on yourself, but that individual. Yeah, you can say they deserve it, but we all deserve to be beat down by God because we have sinned. The word of God has to resonate and be real to you. Don't throw God's word around and play with God's word. It's vitally important that we don't assist Satan. Because if we assist Satan, watch what God do to those who assist Satan. Depart from me. I never knew you. In other words, you was never on my team.
Come on.
Yeah, you spoke in tongues. Yeah, you called out demons. Yeah, you did all that good stuff. But why then did God say he don't know you? You know why he didn't know you? You know why? Because your appearance, the spiritual appearance, see, your natural appearance that you had it going on, your spiritual appearance, which God judges, was corrupt. In other words, you wasn't going to church because of God. You was going to church because of them. You wanted to please your mom. You wanted to please your daddy. You went to church because everybody else was going over there. It's all about a fad, and God should not be a fad. Why is it popular to serve God? Because the same post that I put out today, huh? If it was popular, everybody would be on it, but I'm glad it chin-checked people. You know why? Because God is never popular. Although the Bible is popular, it's the biggest selling book. How can it be the biggest selling book, yet so many never resist the devil? Because it's a popular trend to have it and tote it around and say that I'm holy. Huh? But where's the power? The power comes when you resist the devil. And that's when he flees. In other words, hate has no power in your life. When something has power, it turns you on. In other words, when sin turns you on, that means sin got power over you.
Mm.
You know, when you turn up for sin, turn up. Yeah. Let's go ahead and pray.
Hi, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for this message, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you and say, let us submit our ways to you. May we submit, may we commit, may we assist you, and may we resist everything that is not of you, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that the words that we received this evening truly touched, moved, and inspired all of those who heard the word tonight. May they walk forward, Heavenly Father, and continue assisting you, dear Lord, and assisting not only you, but also their brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, because you tell us in our word that we can't do it alone. So may we work together as one body and continue to make a difference in this life that you have given us, Heavenly Father. We thank you, we praise you, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night, and make sure y'all get a chance. Call in on Wednesday. We have our Bible study, new topic, and make sure you invite a friend. If the word of God is good to you, please don't be embarrassed to tell him about tell someone else. Even if they rejected you some time ago, still go back and show them love. Remember, we're assisting God, not Satan. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.